It's green for go. They're racing.
He says go.
He says ta-da.
And Tiger Tara roars away from them on the home turn.
Here comes another big boil over.
Equine Athleticism at its best. The King is in the castle once more.
This is in one race. The rest are almost in another postcode.
She is a star with a capital S.
It's going to be a triple treat. A miracle three-peat.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have witnessed history here at Menangle. What about that?
It's getting right up on the sprint lane and it's going to bolt in.
Hello, welcome to episode 94 of the Sprint Lane podcast for Harness Racing New South Wales. This is the Sunday session. My name is Greg Hayes. For the next half an hour or so, I'm going to have a look at what is happening in the sport of harness racing, concentrating on horses from New South Wales. And there is a lot to talk about this week. Some great news with Harness Racing New South Wales announcing the dates and locations for the next Carnival of Cup series have been locked in. Some of the biggest names in Australian music rocked the harness racing tracks in New South Wales in the past 9 months, and several high-profile music acts have already been engaged to perform in Season 2 of the Carnival of Cups, with the news that two new venues are set to join the roster. So the schedule for the Carnival of Cups coming up in Season 2: Parks, September 20, Young, November 8, Tamworth, January 17, Albury, Valentine's Day, Feb 14, and Penrith join the roster, March 14. I've said it before on the podcast, I was a part of the Carnival of Cups right back at its inception nearly 20 years ago. I remember meeting with Rex Horn, Max Poole, and Adam Fairley from Harness Racing New South Wales at the time, and I think it was at a restaurant in Parramatta. I was only a young bloke at the time, and Mark McNamara and I were signed on to go around to all the different meetings. Mark would call them and I would be the on-track MC. After the success in the early stages, the Carnival of Cups grew to the point where every club got one, and I got the feeling that the meetings lost that special feeling. Last year, there was a complete change to the Carnival of Cups and the decision was made to go back to having a handful of clubs host feature meetings, and I think that is the ideal setup. Plus, you throw in the Australian music scene. Back in April, I was blown away by the crowd that turned up and stayed right to the end at Goulburn at the Screaming Jets took the stage after the racing had concluded. The sun had gone down. Bands of that ilk rarely come to Goulburn. That's where I'm living now. I remember seeing an ad for Ross Wilson from Daddy Cool, who was appearing in Goulburn somewhere around the same time, and the ticket price was quite expensive. Compared that to the Carnival of Cups, where you get a few big name acts and it's all free. So for these country communities, it's quite exciting and it's really something for the industry to look forward to. I spoke with Brad Steele on the podcast last week, who's going to be the new CEO of Harness Racing New Zealand, and he made the point that some states in Australia are flying and some are going through a reset, and it's great to see New South Wales is bubbling along nicely. Speaking of bubbling along nicely, I think the Queensland Winter Carnival is doing just that, and New South Wales trained horses are going to play a major part in it. Over the weekend, some of the results we have seen have really added to the build-up for some of the big races. Firstly, the new recruit to the Jason Grimson stable, District Attorney, lowered the colours of Leap to Fame at Redcliffe on Friday night, which sent bookmakers scrambling to readjust markets for the big races in Queensland coming up. But 24 hours later, there were more adjustments being made when Swayze was out-sprinted by stablemate Narano at Albion Park. And what a night it was for Jason Grimson at Albion Park on Saturday. So the two big guns in Australian harness racing, sprinter, stayer, however you like to look at it, they both tasted defeat. Chris Barsby captured the results so well in his calls, it's going to make for some exciting racing action moving forward. In saying all that, I do think the world will right itself and our big guns will be back in the winners list sooner rather than later. With Jack Callaghan away in Queensland, Will Rixon continued on his recent form with a dominant display at Menangle, winning three of the eight races on Saturday night. Rixon is driving extremely well. He deserves all the accolades he's currently getting, with the musical chairs going on involving Cam Hart and Jack Callaghan, and the defeat of Swayze. I wonder whether we will see Cam Hart back on Swayze next start. Grimson is going to have a few horses in these big races, and Callaghan has formed a good partnership with District Attorney, so it will be interesting to see what happens. Cam's got a remarkable record on Swayze. I think 13 drives for 10 wins, two thirds and one fourth, I think, is the record. there seems to be a little bit more at play with Cam doing next to no driving for the Grimson stable. And again, I see after my interview with Jack last weekend, Twitterati were up in arms with me not asking a question about the change. I spoke with Jack about it prior to hitting the record button. He wasn't going to say anything other than he's getting a few more drives for Jason and he'll be turning up wherever he's required. Cam Hart, he's not saying anything. And Jason, he can be hard to get for an interview at the best of times. I reached out today after his treble at Albion Park but couldn't get hold of him, unfortunately. So not too many people are talking about what's going on in relation to the drives or the drivers that Jason Grimson is using. So, after saying all of that, who's on the podcast today? Well, Brad Hewitt was back in the winners list with Typo at Menangle on Saturday night. Captain's Knock also competed, and he's getting ready for Queensland and the Eureka. There are a couple of points I wanted to check with Brad that have been reported elsewhere. Firstly, BK on the Sky coverage last night questioned whether Captain's Knock had a soundness issue this campaign. And secondly, Mick Dummersy reported in a story that David Hewitt would be driving Extreme C, as Brad would be tied to Captain's Knock as his trainer. Now, the question of Extreme C's driver has been up in the air since he was announced as a runner in the Eureka, so I wanted to pose that question and see what Brad had to say, because Dave, when I had him on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, didn't shed any light on it, and Brad has played his cards pretty close to his chest right the way through, and just in that article that Mick penned, he had Brad basically... or Brad not driving, Extreme C going forward. So I'll get Brad Hewitt on and we'll ask him and we'll find out what the state of play is with those 2 points. After the win of District Attorney at Redcliffe on Friday night, I reached out to the owner and former trainer, Ted Caruana, to see if he would join me on the podcast. Ted's son, Blake, trained District Attorney in partnership with his dad, and Ted said, give Blake a ring, have a chat to him about it. He'd love to do it. So I rang Blake on Saturday night and recorded an interview with him about District Attorney after his shock win on Friday night in the Patron's Purse. So we'll learn more about the Giant Killer. And mentioned on the podcast last week, I couldn't track down George Lee after he won his first race with Jungle Eyes at Canberra a fortnight ago. Well, since then, George has won another 3 races. And the good news is that I've managed to find him, and he's going to join me today to talk about his career and his 4 wins to date. Love those first-time winners on the podcast. It gives the participants some recognition for their first win, and it also lets them dip their toe into the water regarding media and interviews. It's a win-win for everyone. Mr. T's back with another couple of tips. We continue our tipping challenge. I know I got a winner at Newcastle on Monday. He got a winner at Menangle on Tuesday, so I'll update the leaderboard towards the end of the show. Plus, I'll look at every Saturday night race at Menangle and tell you what I saw in the Menangle Express. And I'll also give out my win of the night, best beaten performance, and best driver of the night. So plenty to get through today. First up, let's hear from Menangle winning trainer, Brad Hewitt.
Typo led. Model Barno gets to a clear second. Star Major's under pressure. Pete Said So needs to get away from the inside, and being produced to the outside now is Captain's Knock. Typo led. Model Barno giving chase. Pete Said So just keeps coming on the inside. Typo the leader. Out after it on the inside is Pete Said So. Further out is Model Barno. And very late was JOK, but the leader narrowly is Typo. It's gripping on, and Typo... Typo goes home to score and beats Pete Said So, JOK.
He'd have to have one of the best strike rates in the state at the moment, Brad Hewitt. Horses are absolutely firing. Another winner at Club Menangle on Saturday night with Typo proving too strong. And a big Queensland campaign coming up as well for Brad. And Brad's joining me to have a chat. Congratulations, Brad. Well done last night.
Good on you, how are you? Thanks for having me.
No probs. Typo. Well, he just keeps on performing in these top-class races at Menangle.
Yeah, got it his way again last night. Just, he went wrong, obviously, the week before, which is, he's never done ever since. Yeah, he's sort of been in my care, but, he sort of didn't have much luck to start before that. But one thing you can count on, he's always, sticks his head out and he's doing his best.
So what's the plans with him? Will he make the Queensland trip as well, or does he stay at home and sort of take the rich races at Menangle while the big guns are away?
No, he'll go to Queensland with me. Sort of, he can go and then good races. He went in it last year and had no luck throughout the car park. So under no illusions, he's up against it with horses like Crazy and Lead to Fame and the like. But if he gets the right draw, he's definitely good enough to run in the money anyway.
What about Bluto? Beaten last night, but geez, been consistent of late.
Yeah, just probably a little bit disappointed that he didn't win just with the trip he had. But in saying that, they went really quick time too on a pretty cold night, like on 53 over the 2300 there. Like, it's nothing to be sneezed at. But as you said, he's been really consistent. The only time he's missed a place, I think, he ran fourth and he got held up bad that night, and he probably should have won that night. So I can't win too much about him. I think he's been doing a really good job.
Anything for him in Queensland during the winter?
Sort of waiting to hear. There's still another few spots left in the Rising Sun. So, up that sort of nearly free-for-all grade. There's not too many horses going around that class at the minute. So, still hoping that he gets a run in that.
Now, Captain's Knock last night went around in preparation for his trip up to Queensland. You didn't drive him, but what did you make of him?
Yeah, I just watched a replay when I got home last night, and I was still really happy with his run. Like, they went a really quick last half, and the horse he was following, or he'd done a bit of work early, then the horse he was following, never took him around the corner and had to pull out too early. Like, he lost probably another couple of lengths around the corner when I hit the button on the old horse in front, and he still got about 6 metres and was good and strong through the line. So I was happy enough with his run, and he just takes a bit to come to here. And I said before, sort of being a 4-year-old stallion, he's a little round fella, and he just thrives on a bit of racing. But he pulled up really good, and he'll probably go around again next week.
Does he know he's a stallion, or is he pretty quiet?
No, he's a beautiful horse. No trouble at all around the stables or at the races. So he's not a drama at all.
Mate, one thing that did make my ears prick up last night during the Sky coverage was BK saying, just as they're about to score up, that he's got soundness issues, or he's had a soundness issue this campaign. Is there anything in that?
No. He's had a quarter crack his last couple of runs, like last prep, like around Miracle Mile time, and but he's been no worries at all. Just been managing it, and he wears pads in front, but should be able to get them off for the next start too. And like that, they always seem to improve, and you can do that as well. But just had to manage his quarter crack first, and it's growing out now. So away we go from here on in.
They're probably a little bit of a worry maybe for, people like the Cordinas who are sitting in and listening to the race. But anyway, mate, another question. There was a story released by Mick Dummerzy talking about Extreme C, and the decision had been made that your dad would be driving him. Is there anything in that, or has that one gone off a bit early too?
Well, I'm excited about everything. Been happened to get a few things checked off and whatnot, but haven't worried about it just yet. We've got another few weeks until them two will be clashing, so we'll cross that bridge in the next week or so.
We saw Extreme C last night work at Menanga. What did you make of him?
He went pretty good. He's the same. He's a really good doing round, stout little fella, so just wanted to give him a trip and a run away and get rid of a few butterflies and have a bit of a hit out, and he'll more than likely go around either next week or the week after as well.
Okay, so we'll see him before he goes. And Millwood Bliss was the horse that worked with Extreme C, and Will drove her. She looked to hit the line really well as well. You must be happy with where she's at.
Yeah, she's come up good after, obviously got scratched from the eight there a couple of months ago, but everything's good so far, and really happy with how she's going, and same with her, she'll go around next week as well.
So Queensland Oaks on the agenda for her?
Yep, there's that South East Oaks, whatever it's called, and then the Queensland Oaks. So that's the plan with her anyway.
So how many horses will you end up taking to Queensland? Sounds like you're going to have a big team up there.
Yeah, at this stage is about, sort of around the 6 or 7 mark, including, dad's horse.
Okay. And does the whole family go, or do you just go up by yourself?
Yeah, Millie and the kids are coming for the trip, and mum and dad will definitely get up there for a week or so as well. Like that Rise and Sun is the first week that we're there, so they'll definitely be there for that, and we'll just take it as it goes after that, whether dad's horse goes in another race or that's it for the campaign.
Yeah, it's I think that Millie and the kids would be loving getting out of Goulburn for a little while, because it is extremely cold at the moment. But mate, really well done, another winner at headquarters. The team's firing. You got a big day on Tuesday too, by the looks of it. You might have a few winners there, so good luck going forward and good luck in Queensland.
Good on you, Andy. Thanks for having me, mate.
District Attorney coiled and ready to strike. Is he good enough, though? One by one for Real Life, RD's Flash Free Thinker. I Break the Line, Simply Sam Aroda. Teddy Disco, third quarter, 27-5. They're about to straighten now. Less than 200 metres to run. Leap to Fame into the home straight. District Attorney looms on the outside. Leap to Fame, District Attorney. Leap to Fame, District Attorney. Oh my goodness, what an upset! District Attorney peeled off his back and did the unthinkable. He got him.
Well, it has been the weekend for big upsets, and we've seen Swayze go under at Albion Park, and on Friday night we saw Leap to Fame, the Miracle Mile winner, the Triple Crown winner, knocked off his perch by a horse called District Attorney, who has had a couple of runs for Jason Grimson and has been super impressive, but is raced by the Caruana family. Blake Caruana, he's joining me to have a chat about it. Well, Blake, congratulations with the win on Friday night. Huge, huge performance.
Good evening, Hazy. Yeah, it was great. No, it was good to see you. And we're all stoked. We're all stoked. I've lost my voice. Excuse me for that. All the screaming I did last night, I was shocked. I was shocked.
Blake, did you... You know, it's always tough when you're going into those races and you're racing superstars and champions. Did you think you had any chance of winning that race?
I always thought he could give him a shake. Mm. I always thought he could give him a shake. And I thought maybe at his absolute best, with the current stable, that he could potentially beat him. But I didn't think last night was the night.
Well, take us through the District Attorney story, because the Caruana family have had him right from day dot, and you did a fantastic job with him, and he's obviously ended up with Jason Grimson for the last two starts. But how did the District Attorney story start?
Well, the District Attorney story started back in 2020.
Yep.
At the APG sales in Melbourne. We had missed out on a couple of lots. There were a couple of really high-priced lots that day, and we missed out on a couple, and then I remember just scrolling through the book in the chairs, and I said, oh, shit, that's Cruz Bromack's brother. I said, oh, let's go have a look. We didn't even see him in the book. We went and had a look at him and fell in love with him straight away. And, we weren't going home without him. So we bought him there and then. Went off to Clinton McSwain's to get broken in, done a wonderful job. And, then I had him as a 2, 3, and 4-year-old up until about 6 months ago. I got a bit sick, but anyways, that's history. The horse then went to Jody's, and she done a good job with him too, considering, you know, bad draws and all that stuff, and ran into a few hurdles. But yeah, now he's in Sydney and doing a wonderful job. Oh, well, Queensland technically, but yeah, you know, with Grimmer in Grimson Town now. So he's doing a wonderful job.
Obviously, Jason Grimson has got a great record with performed horses, and he can get them to compete at that high level. Was that the plan when the family said, "Oh, let's send him off to Jason Grimson and see if Jason can do what he's done with, you know, all the horses or the 3 or 4 horses that he's been able to do a similar sort of thing with?"
Yes, that was sort of the theory behind it. Look, we thought you know, he's clearly a nice enough horse to sort of mix it. And we thought at his best he can mix it with some nice ones. So, yeah, we thought if he can do that with sort of, I wouldn't say mediocre horses, but less performed horses, than our bloke, then why can't he do the same with ours? So, yeah, and that theory has come to fruition in the last 2-3 weeks. So, yeah.
It was a tremendous win at Bankstown, winning the Truer, and I guess he's won now, what, Bankstown and Redcliffe. So the horse is obviously very well gated. He's got no problems getting around little tight tracks.
He was always really good gated. My track at home is when I had him was only about 800 metres, and he'd always come home in something stupid, you know, like 11 up the furlong and stuff like that. So, and he never had any trouble getting around bends. Like, he's won at tight tracks down here in Melbourne, like Warragul and Stall, without any grief. So, yeah, no, he's always been a beautifully gated horse and never wore spreaders or anything like that. And, yeah, he's in that regard, he's always been very simple.
And something I really like about him, he loves a tight finish and he really likes to find the line. It was a very close finish at Bankstown and it was a super close finish at Redcliffe as well. So he doesn't mind sticking his head out when it really counts.
Sometimes that coltiness can come out in him, and he doesn't really like to win by big margins, as you would have seen at his couple of wins at Melton.
Yep.
But yeah, that's him. He always gives his all. He gives his all, and if you've got him on song, he'll give you everything. You just have to do the right. I found the trick to him was you give him your everything, and he'll give you his everything. You know, and that's why I always had a soft spot for that horse.
He's got a lot of, like, he's got gate speed. He can obviously run a trip, and he fights hard to the line. So he's got all the attributes to be a really top class horse.
Well, his best attribute was always his speed. He was always a lot, probably faster than he was strong. But last night he proved me wrong tenfold. And he did it at both, lit the candle at both ends, and was still able to run down a really very 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 good horse in a freaking leap to fame.
So was Redcliffe all about seeing whether he's was going to stay in Queensland for the feature races, or was he always going to stay and compete against the good horses in the top races up there?
To be very honest with you, I dare say that was Jason's intention. I haven't quizzed him too much on it because he's doing a wonderful job, and I don't want to... the way I look at it, the way I'm looking at it is if I build a house, I build houses, if I'm building a house for someone and someone's always quizzing me, oh, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? I find I get really annoyed. So I thought I'll just let the wizard do his job. But I dare say that'd be his intentions. Yeah.
Geez, you're going to have some fun with him over the, you know, next 4 to 6 weeks with all those big races up in Queensland. Will you guys head up and watch him live in the flesh, or are you happy to sit at home and watch him on the telly?
I was at Bankstown when he won the Truer. I went up for the weekend and that paid off. I didn't go last night, honestly, because I was stuck at work, had some commitments down here. But, I'll more than likely head up, yeah, for the carnival if things pan out, yeah, and he stays sound and all this, yeah, God willing.
Does he have any soundness issues, or is it like when you had him, was everything okay with him?
No, he was always a pretty sound horse. It was more his immune system he always gave me grief like that, coughing and all that stuff. But I managed, not so much coughing, more white cells and all that stuff.
Yep.
And you'll notice sometimes, that's why he's got a lot of places to his name, and he should have probably 15 or 16 wins rather than the 12 he's got. Because, yeah, he's whenever he's always run a subpar race, it's always been because he's been a little bit crook.
Yep.
But we always managed to get him through it. And, yeah, that was really the only grief he ever gave me, that horse. He could be a funny horse like that in some regards. And he made me pull my hair out at times for that. But the funny thing was, with that, he'd always still give his all.
Like at home, you could work him and come home in something stupid. And how you would know was his heart would be a touch higher than it normally is. Yep. He's got a really, really good recovery rate and good heart.
Yep.
Let's say if he'd come in and his heart's, I don't know, 72, 74, and you'd come in and his heart would be 80 or 78, but he'd still run like a monster, I'd say, okay, what's going on here? And that could be my OCD too. I was always a little bit too much of a perfectionist in that regard, maybe, that I just wanted him spot on all the time. Not so much that every race is a grand final, but I was just, yeah, a bit too OCD in that regard. So, yeah, but no, he's doing a wonderful job.
So, obviously you don't like to pester Jace too much, but are we looking at the Sunshine Sprint and races like that?
Hard to say. Well, I dare say he would be. I dare say he would be. He hasn't. He doesn't say too much, old Jace.
Yep.
You won't find a more casual, cool guy. So yeah, I'm not sure what the go is, but yeah, I dare say that'd be his next hurdle.
Well, mate, it's a fantastic story. And, you know, it's really breathed some life into this carnival because everyone thought, well, Leap to Fame and Swayze are the two big guns. Well, all of a sudden, in the space of 24 hours, we've seen them both rolled, which is, I think, good for the sport. Mate, congratulations with that, and we wish you all the best of luck with him going forward.
Thank you very much, Hazy. Have a lovely night.
Jungle Eyes and George Lee. Is this the moment for George? Moves up about a neck away second. Further back on the field, Midnight Secret. Far Eye C starts to run on and looks a bit of a threat as well. And then came Electrojet, the third quarter, 29.5. Jungle Eyes turns just in front of Aldebaran Yahtzee. And coming at them still is Far Eye C down the outside for Blake Mikalev. But Jungle Eyes and George Lee, it's in front, coming clear, I think. And it's Jungle Eyes. A great moment. Well done to George Lee. And Jungle Eyes wins it.
Well, we were looking for him last week to have a chat about his first win with Jungle Eyes, and since then George Lee's gone bang, bang, bang. He's won another three. He's driving up a storm at the moment, and always good to catch up with first-time winners on the podcast, and we found him. George Lee, hello. Congratulations on the start to your career, mate. Well done.
Yeah, thanks, mate. It was still quite surreal, really.
Yeah, you've had a great start to your career. Only 16 years of age. Tell us about how you got involved in harness racing.
Oh, I've been in harness racing my whole life, really. Like, grew up helping Dad and Pop, and then just kept going from there, fell in love with it. So.
Did you drive the minis?
Yeah, we drove the... Started mini-trotting when I was seven. So.
And did you have any success in the mini-trots?
Yeah, we drove in a few miracle miles in the Dominions and that. It was a great experience through the mini-trot, really.
And then, was there any ever question that you were going to, you know, graduate to the big ones?
Oh, not really. It was always on the card.
Yep. And do you enjoy the driving or the training more?
Oh, they're both good, but they're completely different, really. I like seeing the change when you're training them, and then driving them is really good too.
Yep. Now, we'll run through each of your wins so far. First up, Jungle Eyes. Now, Jungle Eyes is a trotter, so no easy task for your first win. And you got Jungle Eyes to go around the Canberra track. So that was a big feather in your cap.
Yeah, no, he's a really nice horse when he trots. It's just, he can be a bit silly sometimes, but no. Once he trots, he's really nice horse.
Does he give you an indication when you get him out there and warm up that he's going to behave and do everything right for you, or is it just in his mind when he gets up to the gate?
No, he doesn't give you any indications. He's pretty, like, you don't really know. You just got to hope.
Yeah. And what do you remember of that first victory? Because he did everything right for you, and you got up into the and attacked him pretty early.
Yeah, as soon as we done everything right out the gate, we sort of just went up and lobbed in the death, and as soon as we got there, he was always going to be pretty hard to beat from there.
And what was the feeling like when you won that first race? A pretty special feeling?
Yeah, when it first happened, it didn't really sink in for a bit, but it was amazing, really.
What did everyone say to you back, you know, Dad and Pop? Did they give you congratulations?
Yeah, everyone was all excited for me, so it was good.
And then, off to Riverina during the week, and the Exorcist, and Here Comes Bobby were both successful. Firstly, the Exorcist, what did you make of it?
Yeah, he's a really nice horse, actually. He's got a really nice turn of foot. We ended up last and real wide, and he just got home really well.
Proved too strong, and then Here Comes Bobby was successful as well?
Yeah, he's the same. He's got a great turn of foot, but he ended up three fence and just got a really good run up the sprint lane.
Yeah, that was a drive. I watched that replay, and you showed a lot of patience. You had to be patient, and then as soon as that sprint lane was there, you were there in a flash, and the horse finished off really well. And then off the parks the following day and drove Lara Tiara there.
Yeah, I've had a couple of drives there for Nathan, one for Buzz, and Lara ended up three fence too, and we got out our bet at the 400, and she just proved too good.
So who's been the major influence on your career so far?
Oh, Pop and Dad, like they both give me a lot of nice drives and always help me out.
Yeah, and are you doing the horses full time, or are you still at school? What's going on?
Nah, I finished year 10 last year and working for Pop full time.
Okay, and you've got a couple of drives. I think you're off to Tamora today, aren't you?
Yeah, I got one drive. I got XC in the cup at Tamora today.
And then driving at Menangle on Tuesday. So there's plenty of drives around for you at the moment, especially with that 5-point claim.
Yeah, we're getting a few drives, so it's really good.
Well, mate, always good to catch up with first-time winners. You got four in the space of a couple of weeks, so you're doing a really good job, and we wish you all the best of luck going forward.
Thank you.
Time for the Menangle Express, where I look at every race at Menangle on a Saturday night and see if we can find a winner or two. Race one, favourite was Bluto at $2.80 over the 2,300. Speed early from Bluto and then Van Basten, with Van Basten being allowed to roll to the front. They went into single file. Van Basten, Bluto, Tuppence, Hector, Windy Hill, Tara, Little Bliss, Doug's Platter, No Heart Throb. Speed was quick enough with a lead time of 48.8. They then went 29.1 and Doug's Platter came away from the inside at the 1,000. Started the running line with No Heart Throb following up. 29.8 to the half, and then the speed went on. 27.9 to the corner. Doug's Platter was gone. No Heart Throb came off his back, and Hector, who was four pegs, eased around them all and came wide. Van Basten led into the straight. Blue Day came off its back. Tuppence came off cover too, but Hector boomed down the outside and proved too good. 27 up the straight, 153.8 mile over the long trip. Good win, Hector. Bluto got things made to order for second. Tuppence came home again for third. Keep following him. No surprise again. First four on the pegs finished in the first four past the post. Really good drive, Jack Brown. Race number two, Fave Captain's Knock at $2.80. There was speed from Pete Sedso, Montalbano and Typo, with Typo eventually rolling to the front from Montalbano, Pete Sedso and the croupier on the pegs. Captain's Knock was caught outside the leader initially, then JOK, I'm Prezi Bell, Master Catch and Jillaby Sylvester, with Star Major caught three deep. First quarter 26.5, Star Major progressed forward and was first over by the time they got to the 900, and this allowed Hewitt to drop the speed big time. 30.1 the second quarter, and there it is, the key quarter again over the mile. 27.9 for the third quarter, and you could see the speed noticeably lift just after the cages. Star Major was in trouble on the turn. Captain's Knock and JOK fanned. Montalbano came away from the inside and tried to come around Typo, and Pete Sedso stuck to the inside and looked a huge threat halfway up the straight, but Typo held on after that soft second quarter. 26.5 up the straight, 150.9 the victory. Good win, beating up on that rung below the top ones. Pete Sedso is getting close to another win. JOK was third and was better than Captain's Knock up the straight. Race number three, the favourite was My Ultimate Snowy at $2.50, which seemed a little bit short for mine. Speed galore here. Nicholas Cage tried to get off the arm, more good across it easily. My Ultimate Snowy was away well, but Hypoactive blasted off the arm and crossed to the pegs. So on the pegs, it was Hypoactive, more gooder, Nicholas Cage, Lockheel and Colonia Courage, who missed the start. The running line was He's a Sure Thing, My Ultimate Snowy, Surface, Dance and Deliver, and Has the Courage. 25.7 off the arm, and they didn't back it off either. 28.5 second quarter. As they headed past the cages, He's a Sure Thing was in trouble. It forced My Ultimate Snowy to go before he wanted, and Dance and Deliver was quickly out three wide to get his back. Nicholas Cage was in trouble before the turn as well. 29 seconds was the third quarter. hypoactive, running on memory. More Good came off its back. My Ultimate Snowy ran around like a drunk in the straight, and Danton Deliver and Has the Courage got to the outside. More Gooder hit the front as Hypoactive tired, but Dance and Deliver scooted home to win. 27.9, 151 won the mile. Beaten horses. More Gooder good, and his speed, with that early gate speed he's got, he'll win one soon. Has the Courage low flying. Needs races run to suit, but would run on at the end of 2 miles. Hypoactive enormous after leading and getting savaged in front. My Ultimate Snowy was out before the turn when the chair horse stopped, but thought he had every chance. Race number 4, the fave was Chase the Stars at $2.50. Speculating and Chase the Stars showed early speed, and Jewel Melody progressed forward and ended up finding the front with all drivers looking to dive to the peg. So in single file, it was Jewel Melody, Chase the Stars, Speculating, Vignette, Outside Fighter, Sheffield Sparky, Jillaby Adore, Turbo Tommy, Captain Richie and Freddie Singh. Lead time was slow, 50.8. They just gradually got quicker and quicker. 30.8 for the first quarter. Captain Richie went up in the air at the 900-metre mark back in the field. 29.5 for the second quarter. Still nothing came away from the inside. Sheffield Sparky came off the pegs at the cages, which forced Outside Fighter out in front of it. Turbo Tommy jumped onto the train behind those. Vignette looked to be under pressure on the pegs, but kept on giving. 28.3 around the side and into the straight. Jewel Melody looked to be travelling okay. Chase the Stars came to the outside. Speculating came out 3 wide. Vignette stayed to the inside and was making up ground. Chase the Stars ran to the front in the shadows of the post, but was grabbed by Speculating right on the post. Jewel Melody held third. Vignette fourth. Outside Fighter fifth. First 5 horses on the pegs finished first 5 spots. 27 up the straight for a 156.4 mile. Race number 5, the fave was Stravinsky at $1.45, and put this win down to one thing. Driver Will Rickson outthought everyone here. Arden's Ace charged off the gate from out wide. He always hands over, so Will pushed forward with Jillaby Nitro and took the lead off Arden's Ace, and then Will let Stravinsky go. So on the pegs, it was Stravinsky, Jillaby Nitro, Arden's Ace, Joni N, Plains in Heaven, Our Uncle Jim and LL Cool J, Running Line, Double Encounter, Romany and Roll Up. 26.8 first quarter, and they didn't come back too much because the second quarter was 28.9. Past the cages, Cam Hart on Stravinsky adopted the Seaton Grimer tactics of taking off, but he didn't get very far in front. 28.1 third quarter, Double Encounter gone on the turn. Romany was out 3 wide. With Double Encounter tiring, it left room for those on the peg. So Jillaby Nitro and Arden's Ace both came out for their shot. But the early move from Will Rickson to get the spot behind the leader meant he was close enough to grab Stravinsky late. Arden's Ace finished in third, big gap back to fourth and fifth, but again, first 4 horses on the pegs finished first to fourth. 26.9 home for a 150.7 mile. Really smart drive, Will Rickson. Look, I've been critical of Will in this segment previously about waiting too long to take off, but that was a 10 out of 10, that one. Race 6, the fave was Toro Stride at 220. And when the starter said go, it's Fergie time showed speed and crossed to the pegs. Hot to Trot began well, but had to grab hold and dive to the pegs and ended up 3 back. In front was Toro Stride, who began well. It's Fergie time, Hot to Trot, Satin Stride, Triumph Stride, Tarantaise, Aldebaran Jensen, Military Merit and Razzle Me Dazzle Me. 27.2 for the first quarter and then 31 seconds through the second. Hot to Trot came off the inside at the cages and moved very quickly to get up outside the leader. But as they got to the turn, it galloped, which left Toro Stride well in front, and the race was all but over. 29.9 round the side. Toro Stride just had to trot up the straight to win. 27.6 home for a 155.7 mile. It's Fergie time held second, but was never going to win. And Satin Stride and Triumph Stride battled it out for third and fourth. Well done to Joe and Mary Rando with 3 of the first 4 past the post. And another Will Rickson winner. Race 7. The fave was Lose Dream at $2.50. And what a strange race this was. 53.4 first and last quarters combined. And the middle half was 60.8. But anyway, speed here from Amore Infida and Rick O'Shea, with Amore Infida getting to the front. Single file again, Amore Infida, Rick O'Shea, Titian Raider, Dark Terror, Major Statement, Corby Stumbler, Lose Dream, Shades of Heaven, Vincent Van Gaughen and Skittle Bomb. 26.5 the first quarter, and then the brakes went on. Ash DeLozer on Lose Dream tried to make something happen, coming off the pegs at the 900, which got Major Statement out. So the running line was Major Statement, Lose Dream, Shades of Heaven and Skittlebomb. 31.8 the second quarter. That was the money split. 29 seconds round the side. Lose Dream was out 3 wide on the turn, given every hope. Rick O'Shea came around the leader's wheel to have a crack. Corby Stumbler came off the pegs from an awkward position and was probing for runs in the straight. Amore Infida was out on her feet, but she held on with a wall chasing. Lose Dream got second in a blanket finish. My love affair with it might be over after 2 weeks. Unlucky last week. Race not run to suit this week, but it has no speed early, so might be one of those unlucky types every week. Corby Stumbler, really good. It's racing well. It finished third. Shades of Heaven, track lose dream to the turn. Got home okay, ran fourth, but was beaten 20 centimetres for second. 26.9 up the straight for a slow 154 2 mile. Race 8, Faye was Caligula. I said on Twitter before the meeting that all it had to do was trot throughout to win, but at 125, all it was a quaddy horse. It showed its customary speed, dashed to the front, while Sonny G, the second fave, galloped, which was surprising, and so did Down Under Earl. Caligula led from Gaelic Lad, Electrojet, Sally M, the best Bourbon, Pharisee, Chief Running Cloud was caught off the peg, so it eased and went back to last. 26.9 fast first quarter, then backed it off through the second in 30.5. Just past the 800, the best Bourbon came off the inside, but Caligula took off at the cages, ran a 28.9 third quarter. Never in any danger up the straight, and Caligula won by more than 30 metres. Electrojet got home well, got second at Big Odds, Pharisee was third. The best Bourbon off her game, she finished 7th, 28.4 for a brisk 154.7 mile. No Royal Dan, he was at Albion Park. And while Royal Dan's away, Caligula is going to take some beating. If they are both at their best, I reckon it'd be a really good race time-wise. Best winner of the night, Hector, in the first for Jack Brown and Jason Grimson. Eased, came wide on the turn rather than punch the pegs, and it really allowed the horse to build momentum up the straight. Put together a couple of really good wins now, Hector. Best beaten performance, Hypoactive, got absolutely garrotted in front with a 25.7 first quarter and then a 28.5 second split. Death Horse stopped and was beaten 47 metres. Vet had a look at it. Hypoactive was beaten 1.6 in 151.1. Really good effort, and it can win a couple in town with that early gate speed that it's got, Hypoactive. Best driver of the night, Jack Browns, was really good in the first. Cam Hart's in race four on Speculating was smart, but Will Rickson on Jillaby Nitro just thought the race out beautifully, knew he needed to be the first horse to Arden's Ace and then hand over to the fave. Smart drive and deserves drive of the night.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Winning. Hey, that's pretty good.
Winner.
That was legitness.
That I say, all right, all right, all right.
Wow, winning.
Bam. Just like that. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. A winner.
Winners everywhere last week. I got one. That was Mick Danger at Newcastle. It paid $2.70. Mr. T found American Hammer, and it paid $2.80. So in this round, I'm positive $26. Mr. T, negative $15. Let's have a look at what Mr. T has this week. No Bathurst Fields out again, so he's going to Tamora on Sunday night, not giving his followers much time to hear about these two. But race two, number eight, Mr. Manager for Amanda Turnbull, second up from a spell. Went to Bankstown first up, finished second, but was beaten a fair way by Take a Hike. Last win was at Yagara, my favourite track in the state. Came off cover that day and might take some beating, so that's race two, number eight, Mr. Manager. And race three, number three, Joe's Redemption for Nathan Turnbull. Won at Bathurst on Friday night when Nathan drove it, and it was pretty good on that occasion. The camp's hoping to strike while the iron's hot and win two in the space of 48 hours. So that is race three, number three, Joe's Redemption. My two. I'm sticking with Brad Hewitt at Menangle on Tuesday. I mentioned it in my chat with him. I think he could win three. But my two are race six, number eight, Let Us Nip Ya. It's a rated 65, competing in a rating 60. Beaten in an up to 63 at Wagga last start over the longer trip. Gets back to the mile here. They really ran solidly from the 1200 at Wagga, and it led. So I think it can bounce back over the shorter trip. And race seven, number eight, He's Dusty. Ran second in an up to 80 behind Ultimate Bird at headquarters. Gets back into a 70 with the claim for the inform Ash DeLoza. Brad's got another one in race four that'll start a short price fave. But the second of mine is race seven, number eight, He's Dusty. That just about wraps up the show. Thanks to the guest this week, Brad Hewitt. He answered a few of the tough questions in relation to his horses and what's going on with Extreme C and the drive. Still think we're a little week or two away from a decision being made on that. Blake Caruana told us more about the Giant Killer District Attorney, and I found George Lee after the great start to his driving career. Big races are getting closer. I really hope you've enjoyed the podcast, and I'll catch you again next week with another edition of the Sunday Session.